Welcome to the April Delta County Commissioner's Report. I'm Felix Belmont. I'm joined here today with our news director, Eric Gould.
Hello, Felix.
Hello. Our special guest is Ms. Elsie Ackerman Castleberry, who is the Community and Economic Development Director for Delta County. Ms. Castleberry, thank you so much for taking the time to haul all the way up here to Bayonne for this interview, which we anticipate with great interest. Let me just start off by having you very briefly tell us, what is your job with Delta County? You have a very prestigious title, Community and Economic Development Director for Delta County, but from a practical point of view, what do you do?
So my job with Delta County is a couple of things. First and foremost, I manage the planning department. So the planning department is where anybody who would like to develop their land or start a business or do something with the property that they have, they come and work with us in the planning department to make that happen. The other part of my job is economic development. And really, those two things are interconnected. We believe that community development and economic development are two things that work hand in hand. And so my job is to help address the needs of our county to help grow jobs, help bring in new business, and help build a great community for everybody that lives in Delta County and assist the county in its role in that bigger picture of economic development with our partners. And we have numerous partners that work on economic development as well.
It really sounds quite complex. It covers quite a broad area of activity, doesn't it?
It does. And it's complex only in that there's a lot of moving pieces and parts, and part of my job is to help coordinate those so that they can come together and make sure that the right people are coming together.
And is this an elective or appointive position?
Appointed. I'm an employee of the county's.
You're an employee of the county. Is this something that is general to counties throughout the state, or is it particular to Delta County?
It's very common for most counties have a community development department. Maybe a little more unique that we've built economic development into that as well, but not so unique that others aren't doing that as well. I think more and more communities realize that your infrastructure, your need for housing and roads and parks and recreation and other infrastructure is intricately connected to economic development.
Fine. I'm going to turn you over now to Eric Gould, our news director, and among other activities in the station, and he has some questions for you.
Thank you so much, Felix. I appreciate that. And thanks for being here, Elise. Good to see you. You know, I kind of want to just take a step back and do a kind of a general question. Felix was talking about your title and planning and economic development, and particularly planning. You hear that word and immediately people disengage because it's a very boring thing. You know, I'll be honest, I'm a geek for this kind of stuff, for laws and policy. You know, I like this kind of stuff, but most people do not. Planning is a very boring topic. How do you deal with that? How do you get around that?
Well, I think part of it is making it relevant to people. It can be boring, and I think part of that is that we get caught up in acronyms and terminology that means something to me as a planner but doesn't necessarily mean anything to the general public. One of the challenges I think we have is to get away from that and make it relevant to everybody. At the end of the day, everybody should care about it because it affects you. It affects you on your way to work. It affects you on your way home. It affects, you know, really every part of your day-to-day life. Somebody somewhere before you ever got here started thinking about what Delta County should look like. And now that those of us are here, it's our job to be thinking about what it should look like in 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And decisions we make today affect that. We should all care about that.
And you might also add, you get paid for it.
I do get paid for it. That's absolutely true. I guess I feel lucky that I get to be part of a career and have a career path where I can do something and I also geek out about it. I actually really do enjoy it, and I enjoy trying to make it accessible to everybody. It's challenging, but I do enjoy trying to do that.
How long have you been on the job?
I started with Delta County the first week of May in 2017, so we're at almost 2 full years now.
So going on 2 full years, and I know that revamping might not be the right word, redoing might not be the right word. The planning department has been a big goal here at Delta County. It started with a comprehensive plan that's been reworked and rewritten, and now we're in this long process of talking about planning with the public. And I know you've kind of broken it up into 3 different phases, and a couple of weeks ago was phase one, where you've engaged this community engagement program about the county's land use plan development. And you said, we want to myth bust. We want to help folks understand what regulations we do have. So let's kind of just start there. What regulations does Delta County have?
I love that you're asking me this question. On the myth side of it, there's a perception that because Delta County has limited regulations, that means we have no regulations. And that's not true. We do have land use regulations in place. We have subdivision regulations, which addresses how you take a piece of property and create new lots that you can sell. You have to have a lot in order to transfer ownership of it from one person to another, and breaking that up into smaller and smaller pieces is the subdivision process. The state requires that we have a subdivision process. So we have to have that, and we do. And that's one thing that we're required to have. The other regulation that we have is the specific development regulations. Those really came about as an alternative to zoning Delta County, and came about as a strategy to address specific issues that were starting to happen in the county as we started experiencing growth in the late 90s and early 2000s. And what those specific development regulations say is that in Delta County, and in unincorporated Delta County, so I think it's very important for people to understand we're not talking about what's happening inside of the towns or the city of Delta. This is everything outside of the towns and the cities. In unincorporated Delta County, you are allowed to do 4 things today, and only 4 things. So it's not you can do anything. 4 specific things. You can have residential development. You can build a house. You can build a couple houses. You can build houses. You can do agriculture. So agriculture is exempted. We don't regulate residential development. We don't regulate agriculture, with the exception of concentrated animal feeding operations. That's our one exception, CAFOs, when it comes to ag. You can have a home business. And you can have what we call cottage industry. And that's essentially a home business, but you have employees. You have up to 2,000 square feet of space that you're, like indoor space that you're using for your business. Those are the only 4 things that we don't regulate. If you want to do anything else in Delta County, you have to come through our specific development process. I think that's the first myth that we've been talking about, is this idea that limited regulation means no regulation.
Do you get a lot of exceptions to what you just outlined,
or
request for exceptions?
We get some, and I think there's probably some properties where somebody started out maybe as a home business or a cottage business, but they've actually grown beyond that definition, and we might just not know about it. And as far as exceptions go, I can't think in the 2 years I've been here, I haven't seen that where we are looking at exceptions. Really, anybody who's doing something other than those 4 things, they should be working with us. If they aren't working with us, they probably aren't following our regulations.
We do have the limited LDRs, but we do not have building codes. Is that right?
Correct. We don't have building codes. But again, here's another myth. That doesn't mean you can build anything without some kind of review or permit. So Delta County doesn't have any building codes, but if you're building something, you still have to meet the state's requirements, and the state requires that you get a permit for plumbing and electrical for your actual building. So no building codes in Delta County doesn't mean you don't have to comply with some requirements, and we find people that don't understand that either, and kind of get down the road and realize that they should have been talking with the state. We also require septic systems. So you have to show that you are taking care of your waste appropriately, either connected to a sewer system through one of the municipalities, or that you have a septic system that is properly engineered for what you are trying to do.
And again, we're talking about unincorporated county, like municipalities, Paonia, Hotchkiss, Delta, they have building codes of their own.
Yes.
But the unincorporated county does not. I think sometimes that's how it gets a little bit confused, because they hear no building codes. Well, then they just assume there's no LDRs either. But there are some. It's limited. I'm Eric Gould with KVNF News, and Felix Belmont is here as well. We're talking to Elise Ackerman Castleberry, the Delta County Community and Economic Director. Phase two of this process, where we're trying to redo planning and talk about planning here in Delta County, involves a bunch of community meetings. The last one was in Cedar Edge. The next one is tomorrow, April 4th. And this is going to be a real big meeting. A lot of people are talking about that, Elise. Maybe you could just preview it for me.
I'm excited that you're hearing people talk about it. We're going to actually hopefully have a podcast that'll cover some of the same territory. So for those folks that don't make it, they can hopefully tune into our podcast that we'll have and listen in on that and get some of the same background. So what's going to happen? We have a group of students out of Delta High School, the LULAC Club, which is the League of United Latin American Citizens. It's a high school youth club. They're going to be our moderators for the meeting in Paonia. We will have a panel that will include the City of Montrose that is going to discuss a project around civility that they have been working on, and they're going to talk about some of the outcomes of that real community-focused effort to improve community conversation. And then our panel will also feature Chelsea Bookout, who is a trustee here in Paonia, Mary Hockenberry, who's a trustee with Hotchkiss, and Angela Mackey, who is one of the Delta County Planning Commissioners. She's actually the chair of our Planning Commission. And the LULAC kids will ask them a handful of questions around the idea of how do we as a community do better when we're discussing difficult issues and difficult topics so that we can maybe figure out a way forward instead of really truly just fighting each other all the time. This conversation is really about how do we improve our approach collectively towards difficult conversations. After the panel conversation, we're going to break the room into small groups, and the LULAC kids are going to walk everybody through some small group games around and just try to create some conversation and some community reflection, some self-reflection about how we all can help these conversations happen more effectively. I'm really excited about the conversation, and I'm really excited that the Delta High School kids are able to help with it. I think that we very often see the problem as somewhere else, and we don't always look at ourselves and how we could contribute to a better outcome. And so we, the county, are trying to do that, and I'm hoping that our community will join us in doing that as well.
Some of the questions that they talk about here that are going to be previewed with the LULAC students, I wonder, how does this fit into planning? How do we better engage our youth, Hispanic community, and those that are too busy to come to meetings? What does that have to do with planning?
There's two parts to the world of planning that I live in. There's the kind of straightforward, I have a piece of property, I want to do something with it, component of it. But there's also the part of it that talks about how do the decisions we make today impact our community. That's the master plan that we did last year. And that should be an ongoing conversation about how do we as a community build the future we want to build, and to have that conversation, we need to have everybody at the table. We need to have all opinions, all ideas, all generations, all cultures. Everybody needs to be part of that conversation for us to be effective at it.
And that's Elise Ackerman Castleberry. I'm Eric Gould with KVNF News. We're here on the Delta County Commissioner's Report. Thanks for joining us. If you've just turned on KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, I'm here with Felix Belmont. It's our monthly Delta County Commissioner's Report. And let's just do step back a second and provide some context, Elise. Sometimes the commissioners are just too booked up with their schedules and they can't come to these radio interviews. And that's why sometimes they send out staff members like yourself. Is that kind of what's happening today?
It's probably a little bit of that. And I think it's also that we have a lot happening at the county. And as staff, we're able to help give the deeper dive into some of these topics and help everybody understand the big picture of what's happening at the county.
I would just like to interject, Eric, that it has been our policy over the years on this program not to limit it solely to the county commissioners, but to have more diversification by bringing in other key people in the county. It's called the Delta County Commissioners Report, and we're not changing that. The title should be expanded. But it's been our policy over the years, and it has worked, I think, very effectively. And a prime example of that is what we're hearing today.
Yeah, I think so, too. We have different departments represented. We've got planning here today. We've had the health department on here before. So, yeah, the Delta County Commissioners Report includes staff and other topics and speakers as well. And Elise Ackerman Castleberry is here today talking about planning. You talked about the meeting that's coming up at the Paonia Town Hall. And by the time this radio interview comes on, that meeting will have occurred. I just wonder about this notion of civility. Has there been comments to you, or has it been your experience that meetings are not civil in Delta County?
I think our meetings always are civil, and I think our community does a good job of coming to meetings and sharing their ideas and being polite and considerate. But I think that the issues that we face as a county, as a state, as a country, are really challenging issues. And I'm not sure that we always get to an outcome that feels good for everybody. I think the issue of what does it mean to be heard and what does that look like is really a critical issue. And so much of what we do in planning affects people's lives on a day-to-day basis. I think it's really important for people to feel that they are being genuinely listened to and understand that the outcomes of the process may not be always what they want, but that the process was fair, it was unbiased, that they had every opportunity to engage, participate, and influence. I think that we have room for growth and improvement in the overall conversation, but I think everyone does a great job at our actual meetings.
I think consistency is a major key, too. It seems like these processes and regulations just need to be applied consistently.
Agreed.
And the same in every case. I think that's been a problem with Delta County sometimes before in the past. For different people, the processes have changed a little bit. And over time, that's kind of the thing we're trying to work on, getting ironed out.
Absolutely. We want fair, predictable, consistent processes for everybody, whether you're an applicant coming in and proposing something or you're a neighbor that's going to be next door to something and how you participate. We want to make that a better process for everybody and help everybody engage in that process effectively.
And talking about this final comment about planning, the next step in the process after you've conducted these community meetings is going to be phase three, the creation of a plan and time for residents to be able to add feedback about the proposed plan. How do you envision that happening here in the next few months?
We will kick that next phase off with another round of community meetings where we will bring forward an outline. It's going to be a framework of an approach. So we're going to identify the issues we think we need to address. We're going to start identifying the different tools that we think can address those issues. And then we're going to come out to the community and say, this is where we're heading, and get some feedback on that. Then we're going to go back to the drawing table and we're going to put the detail. We're going to work on the detail. I've been calling that the drafting of the code. So when you look at regulations, they look very formal and very detailed. And so we'll start developing that detailed set of regulations. And then we will plan on bringing that back out to show everybody how we incorporated the feedback we received and how we took our ideas from idea to regulation and get input there. And from that point, we will see if we're ready to move forward with changes and move that change process forward or not.
Those changes will be basically recorded in the master plan. That's where those LDRs will be put into document form, or is that not right?
Actually, they stand on their own as a separate document. So the master plan, it's a vision document and it's not regulatory. These changes we're talking about become regulatory, and so they'd be their own documents. So you would go to our new land use regulation documents. So today you go to our subdivision regulations or specific development regulations. So we're looking at how to adjust those to accomplish the things we said we should accomplish in our master plan, including that fair, predictable, consistent regulations. That's what we're after.
And this process is ongoing, and really there's no way to determine how long it will take.
No, our goal is to be really near done as we in the summer and start the fall. That seems like it's a far long time from now, but it's really not. It's also an iterative process, though, so we'll adjust and fluctuate as we need to. We don't want to put something in place just to put it in place. We want to make sure that what we are presenting to the community and to the commissioners solves the problems that we all talked about during the master plan.
Can I ask you to elaborate just a little bit on what is your relationship to the commissioners? I mean, how do you get from what you do to the commissioners so it becomes law or regulation or survives?
That's a great question. With this regulation update itself, the commissioners are working hand in hand with staff to develop the regulations. So we've been meeting with them in work sessions about every other week, although we've not had a work session here and there as schedules and time permit. And really working through and talking through issues and topics with them. We have a consultant that's also helping us. So they're really working hand in hand with us in developing the ideas and concepts that we're coming up with right now. They helped develop the concepts of our community engagement process and the timeline. So they've been hands-on with it. Obviously, staff's the one that and the consultants that are typing and drawing and doing a lot of the grunt labor to it, but the commissioners have been guiding the ideas and the thinking and the thought processing. We will get to a point where when we feel like we're ready and we have the right set of amendments to our regulations prepared, we will schedule public hearings. And at those public hearings, the commissioners will take public input and then final public input, and then they will decide whether or not to adopt the regulations. And by adopting them, they establish them as our regulations. So once they do that, then they continue on in their role of reviewing and approving applications that come in front of them.
By and large, do you find that the commissioners accept your, forgive me for the word, stuff, your what you produce, or do you ever run into serious conflict where something comes up and you're for it or it's been proposed or you've worked on it or something and the commissioners say no?
I think that's the thing that's working really well right now is because we've been working so closely with the commissioners, we haven't had that issue. That's been an issue in the past when the county has tried
to make... So the commissioners know what you're doing or know about the progress of your working on a given subject or something that may lead to a regulation.
Yeah. They're working with us.
There's no big surprises for them.
We're trying really hard not to surprise them.
Yeah.
But that being said, we've had lots of conversations, lots of philosophical conversations, lots of running through ideas of different approaches and what might work best and what might not work. And we're adjusting the conversation as we go. Many, many years ago, that wasn't the case. There's been several efforts in the past to create different regulations in the county. And those efforts haven't been successful. And I think in part, and maybe there's those that have lived here for longer than I have more insight into it. But from my backward looking view of it, it's in part because the commissioners weren't hands-on involved in those previous conversations. So work would be done and then be brought to the commissioners and they would say, oh, no, we don't want to do that. We're trying to take a different approach this time so that when we get to the end of the process, we know whether or not we're putting something out there that is going to work for them.
since we can edit this a little bit and we'll just go over time just a little bit, I will ask one more question about the 3D seismic testing that's coming up here. I think I have been hearing a lot of comments from people who wanted me to ask this, so I'm going to go ahead and do that here with Elise Ackerman-Castleberry, and this is taken from the Delta County Citizens Report. This was from a recent meeting. Commissioners agreed that two 3D seismic testing projects submitted by Gunnison Energy move forward as minor developments and be processed by the County Planning Department. Planning Director Elise Castleberry explained to commissioners that Gunnison Energy's projects qualified as temporary use under the county's specific development rules. And Elise, you're quoted as saying, "This is not a meeting to approve and deny oil and gas development. We're just looking to see if the testing can proceed administratively." If you could just explain that, what exactly do you mean? You weren't there to say, as is not in your purview, whether the oil and gas development can actually occur, but you were there just to say it can proceed administratively. What does that mean?
Well, I think what I was trying to say in that is that the seismic application itself is not the approval of whether or not future drilling occurs. That is a whole nother conversation for a whole nother day. The 3D seismic application, we're only dealing with this specific request from Gunnison Energy at this point in time. And because of the way the specific development regulations are written, we have to look at that as an administrative review. Our regs actually say it shall be processed administratively as a temporary use application because it's not going to last more than a year. A lot of the comments that we received from the community expressed, you know, the fear and concern that this is the beginning of opening the door. And our regulations really are not designed where we're looking at how this impacts the next application. We really have to review each application within what is actually being proposed at that point in time, even though we know that there will be future applications. And yes, this is likely the beginning of more activity.
All right, we'll go ahead and wrap things up. Thanks so much for joining us here on KVNF. This is Mountain Grown Community Radio. It's been our Delta County Commissioner's Report, and we've been joined graciously by Elise Ackerman-Castleberry, the Community and Economic Development Director for Delta County. Thank you so much, Elise.
Thank you.
And thank you, Felix.
Right. Thank you all.